come and share what God has laid on your heart today?
Thank you, Pastor Philip. I hope he hasn't built me up too much. The opening music could not have gone better with what I want to talk about today. Excuse me if I hum a lot about it. I seem to have a raspy throat. But we've experienced a closer encounter with God this week, last week. And I think we want to thank the leadership of our pastors, all of them, for doing this for us. And I think they deserve a hand. And our praise band, I don't come to the 9:30 service, but I love the music. And you know, we have a hard time getting here at 6 o'clock. Well, they're here at 5. So they can be ready for us and have a great performance. I think they deserve a hand also. And in particular, I think we should recognize both Brad and Ben for their collection of music. You know, it's just like we did in the planning session, just the music I wanted today, so it worked out just right. You'll see what I mean later. As with many of you, I did my first fast in November, but I'm a slow learner. God made me that way, I guess. You know, he said to me, sort of like, Jackson, you don't have to learn fast, but you got to learn good. And I think most of my life has been that way. You know, in my mind, when I look at our pastors, I see them not only as people who are leading us, but also who nudge us to a fuller spiritual life. I like to call them nudgers for God. We just might start coining that. I know that's how I got up here. the author's book in chapter 3, Passion and Authenticity, it really spoke to me, and that's what I want to focus on today. I believe that God has prepared me for just a time such as this. Back in 2002, I was on the finance committee, and my son, who doesn't normally give me books, gave me a book for Christmas entitled The Externally Focused Church. And I read that book, and it sort of inflamed my passion. I was saying to myself, you know, we spend a lot of time inside the bricks and mortars, but you know, the mission field is out there. There's not much of a mission field in here. We don't have to convince anybody of anything in here. And so I left what I was doing in finance and moved over to the outreach committee. And my focus has been on that quite a bit ever since. Just a quick personal story. I always loved school. I think one of the reasons is when school came, I'd get a new pair of shoes, new pair of pants, two shirts, and you know, I felt like I was a new person. Of course, at Christmas, we get more clothes, but it's another story. I even loved school when in the fourth grade, I had the glorious opportunity to attend four different schools in three different states. And because of the turbulence of my mother's second marriage, we moved a lot. my brother and I, though, we got a chance to have adventures often. It seemed like every couple of years we'd be sent back to live with our grandparents. And although my mother was an organist and we went to church all the time, when I was with my grandparents, well, she went to church all the time too. I think she prepared the communion bread many Sundays. So I was always in church. But my brother and I, my younger brother and I, we got to travel by ourselves, by bus and train. And back in the 40s and 50s, that was fun. You wouldn't want to do that anymore, not the children anyhow. One of our trips, my grandparents put us on the train in Webster City, Iowa, which is my hometown. And we went to Chicago, and Uncle met us there, put us up for the night, and put us on the City of Miami train the next day. And it was about a two-day trip. Oh, that was a glorious adventure. Another time, my grandparents put us on a bus in Des Moines, Iowa. And we went all the way to Grants Pass, Oregon, where I started high school, all by bus. Oh, that was glorious. So although it was a gypsy kind of life, you might say, as kids, I was always a new kid in school, which had some, you know, some appeal. My grandfather would always talk to us about his time playing football in high school, and I thought, you know, Gramps can do that. I think I can. And so in my sophomore year in high school, back in my hometown, the football coach came around one day and he says, I need some of you strong farm boys on my football team. So I thought, I think I'll go play. So I went out, and he must have made the same pitch to the ninth graders in junior high school, because just about the same number of them showed up for the sophomore team. And they happened to have the skilled positions. So later, in my junior year and senior year, I made the varsity. And I remember every game I played. I remember every play that I played. Well, you know, it was only two games. And it was only three series of downs. And it would have only been two, but I messed up a tackle and they made a first down. But, you know, I love the sports. I went out for track later. And, kind of long-legged. Thought I had some speed. I was on the mile relay. But that last week of school as a senior, went to the district tournament. And I garnered more points by myself than the rest of the team. It was a rebuilding year, so it wasn't like we had lots of talent that year. In college, I was introduced to intramural volleyball. And there I found a sport I could love. Apparently, my experience in intramurals must have followed me into the service, because my first duty assignment after being commissioned was Lackland Air Force Base. And the Sergeant Don Soap, love that man, he came up to me one day and he says, "Lieutenant, would you like to play on the base volleyball team?" I said, "Oh, sure. Yeah, man, I play some volleyball, yeah." So got to the first practice, and I definitely caught his attention. He came over to me and explained very patiently, "Lieutenant, you don't do it that way." Well, that first season, I learned how to pass. The second season, I learned how to serve. It took about 5 years to learn how to spike. And it took longer than that to learn how to block. But I became passionate for that sport. And to give you an idea of what it was like, and my wife will probably confirm all of this, I was always a player coach. And so I knew I had to be in shape and have all that touch when the season began. So a month before the spring season each year, I would take lunch hour and go to the gym. Just me and a volleyball and the wall. And I would work for a month getting ready. That kind of passion carried over when we arrived here. I helped co-found the Playground Area Soccer Association, which had its 40th season this past fall. It's always been run by volunteer parents. No tax dollars included, involved, just the parents. And at one point, I was when I went to watch my daughter play basketball, it seemed to me that you know, they had a lot of earnest teachers handling sports, but they needed some knowledge about the sport. And so I was able to volunteer doing volleyball. And later when they started soccer, volunteered doing that. As we read in our book, one chapter, if God is going to come into our life, we have to create some space. Well, in the fall of 2016, halfway through the PASA season, I was standing on the field one day waiting for my team, and I noticed, you know, every kid there had a coach. And even my players were over there working with some other coach. And I thought, I think the Lord said to me, you know, Jackson, I think you're done here. And so I just picked up all my equipment, took it to the storage room, and sent an email to the president of the club saying, you got to know when something you really love that you have to quit, because everything was taken care of. Well, that did create some time in my schedule. But Pastor Brian is one of my special nudgers. He started me on a book ministry, a study ministry, which I've handled about four or five times now. And I can be just as passionate about that. In chapter 3, entitled Passion and Authenticity, which is my purpose today, what I wanted to do is appeal to our passion for service to God. You may have noticed that sometimes our pastors in one-on-one conversation with you will might start by saying, I have a book. Or they might say, have you ever thought about, and you fill in the space. Well, they're just nudging you to realize your full potential for God. Well, I've developed my own approach to this. God gave me an inquiring mind. I'll look at something, I'll say, you know, I wonder what it would look like if, and then my mind starts to race on that thing. Of course, when I share that with some people, every now and then I get some giggles and grins and, you know, a little pat on the back, that sort of thing. Because other times I'll start my conversation by saying, I have a crazy idea. But they always listen. You see, what God has laid on my heart is to be bold in service for Him. Because our nation has serious problems, and we see them here locally. What He wants us to do is go out into the community and share our love and His love and the message of salvation, each in our own way, with the spiritual gifts that He's given us. Because no two of us will do this the same task the same way. Now, have you noticed that no matter how much money our elected officials spend on their war on drugs, we have more drug problems today and more crime than when they started. And on their war on poverty, there are more people in poverty than when it started. So in this land of plenty, there's rampant food insecurity. Now, Shalimar UMC is helping in this area through our Faith Back ministry. But there are lots of things out there outside the bricks and mortar that need our attention. I think we can conclude that if we're waiting for our elected representatives to solve some of these problems, it's just not going to happen. It's almost as if they'd rather have the problem so that they could look like they're doing something than to actually have a solution. You might say they're saying to us, well, this is the new normal. I think we even heard that some in the prior administration. But as Craig Goshill wrote in the foreword to the book, normal isn't working for us. So we have got to go out and change some things. So I wonder, what would Shalimar look like if we could teach those in need of food how to grow their own? Or if we could work with them to set up their own food co-op? I wonder. I wonder what it would be like if we set up a community garden where food could be raised for them, or they could do their own raising. And I wonder what Shalimar would look like. What would the congregation of Shalimar look like if they boldly lived their faith by not being normal, but loving and work with those in need to guide them in solving their own problems? I wonder. I wonder what it would look like, what our community would look like, if we, the people, God's own people, mended our local racial divide. I wonder. And I wonder what our churches would look like if we made Dr. Martin Luther King's vision of communities where everyone is measured by the content of their personality, of their character, and not the color of their skin. I wonder. Could we as members of Shalimar United Methodist Church be passionate about God's children and create a community that looked like that? Is that a vision bold enough to be worthy of our energies, our spiritual gifts, and our time? I wonder.